Hey everybody, this is Sophie and welcome to episode 173 of the Big Boo Cast. On this episode, we're going to talk about Melanie's two books that come out this week. It's very exciting. We're going to talk again about the Garth Brooks special that was on A&E a couple of months ago called The Road I'm On. Melanie watched it recently, and to say it made an impact would be an understatement. We're going to talk about a couple of things that I've read in the last week that I love so much, and just a whole bunch of other stuff too. So as always, we're so glad you're here. And if you would like to check out some of the things that we mention on the podcast every week, kind of a one-stop shop for those things, you can look on our Amazon shop, and that's at amazon.com/shop/bigboo. amazon.com/shop/bigboo. I try to update it every week. Sometimes I fail, but I just updated it. So we would love to see you there. Thanks as always for being here, and we hope you enjoy episode 173. Hey everybody, this is Sophie. This is Bee Mama.
Hey, it's Melanie. It's Big Mama.
And Big Mama has two books that come out this week.
Yes, I do.
Not one book. Two books.
Two books that come out, because I apparently decided to be an overachiever. And like I just told you, what it really kind of makes me want to do is get in the bed right now. But I'm sure it'll all be fine.
It'll be fine. Are you excited, or are you ready to, I mean, I know you're excited, but
yeah,
but would you fast forward just a tiny bit, just a smidge, or are you ready maybe just to be in the day?
I don't know. Like maybe. Okay. So you're going to laugh. Uh-huh. This for me is, I am excited. Mm-hmm. And because this is going to be a topic that you and I are going to talk about in this podcast, which I knew we would, is because yesterday I watched on your recommendation, The Road I'm On.
I'm with so Garth Brooks. Happy. Yes. Yes.
I am going to say that it taught me a lot of valuable life lessons.
That's right.
It gave me a lot of perspective. Mm-hmm. Garth taught me a lot of things mm-hmm. yesterday. And mm-hmm. one of the things is when he was in the middle of, and it's at the very beginning, and he was talking about fighting to make it, and he had gone to Nashville. He'd come back home. He'd gone back to Nashville. Finally, they were touring around, and he was traveling like 300 nights out of the year. They were staying up till the break of dawn mm-hmm. after performing in these shows, and then like signing autographs and getting on the road to go somewhere else. And he was sitting there talking about it. I was like, that sounds exhausting. But I'm going to tell you what Garth said. We were the luckiest people alive.
He did.
And you know, you said it just like that. He did. We were the luckiest people alive.
I'm going to tell you, nobody is more earnest, has more feeling, or has more emotion than Garth Brooks. Nobody.
Listen, God love him. He teared up every 20 minutes, every 20 seconds mm-hmm. in that video. Every time he started talking, he was just wiping his tears. And mm-hmm. he was like, I knew you were going to ask me about my mom. I mean, I was like, God, Garth, I'm going to give you a hug.
I know. Like, he can't hear the word mama without tearing up. Like, and the lessons, I mean, you talk about somebody who has reflected on the things his parents taught him. Like, I don't know of anybody that I know in real life who walks around with that much feeling. You know what I mean? Like, it's rare. It's refreshing. It's, mm-hmm. it's encouraging. It's just something else.
Yes. Remember when Carrie Bradshaw had to tell Mikhail Baryshnikov when he surprised her with the Dior dress and tried to take her to the opera and all this stuff, and she was like, I'm an American. Mm-hmm. Like, it was too much. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm an American. That's kind of how Garth, I'm like, wow, that's a lot to walk around with all the time. But yeah. I loved him so much for it. I'm going to tell you that I took notes and said things like, where I'm going to tell Caroline, nobody's going to fight for you but yourself.
That's right.
You need to remember, nobody's going to fight for you. Mm-hmm. How did you shake that hand? I'm going to tell you need to shake that hand. Mm-hmm. Like, if things go south after this, mm-hmm. that you know I've got your back and you've got my back.
I've got your back and you've got my back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was the whole, but all that to say that I am channeling Garth Brooks and taking that kind of energy of, yes, I'm launching two books tomorrow. And yes, it's a lot of work. And yes, it stresses me out. And yes, it's hard to put yourself out there. And you really hope that people like it and that it does well and all that stuff. But what I'm going to say to you is I'm the luckiest woman alive. That's the energy I'm trying to channel.
Here's what I want to know. Are you going to take it a step farther? And are you going to start calling Perry Mr. Schenkel? Just like he calls Trisha Miss Yearwood. Are you gonna go Mr. Schenkel?
What I really took from that is I wish Perry would start calling me Miss Marino. I know. My maiden name is what I wish if we were gonna take it that far. Because I don't feel like Perry needs the extra confidence boost that me calling him Mr. Schenkel would give him.
Right. That well is full. But the Miss Yearwood just delights me.
Oh.
His devotion to her. And then her admiration of him. I would love to spend the afternoon with him.
I would like for Trisha to make me some fried chicken and some mashed potatoes. I would like to sit and talk to them. I would like to look at Garth and say, let's talk more about how every blessing is a curse and every curse
is
a blessing. I mean, and I would do my hands.
Can we go to the point and sit in the chairs around the fire? Like, I would like to do that.
Yeah.
Solve some problems.
And I want to talk more about his girls. He made those girls build that compression bridge one summer. And I paused it at that point. And I told Caroline Schenkel, I said, you need to know that Garth Brooks made his three daughters. I said, the wealthiest, most successful man in country music made his three daughters build a 56-foot compression bridge every day one summer. So I'm like, I'm going to need you to get a hold of yourself when you act like the world's about to end because we're asking you to put your clean socks up that somebody washed for you. Like,
And not only did they build the bridge, when they finished it, they had a picnic lunch on the bridge with food prepared by Miss Yearwood.
That's exactly right. That I don't want to build a bridge, but that is the life that I would like to live. And I need to tell you, and I texted you this last night, but I need everybody to hear this, that I was so like, I couldn't quit thinking about it. I watched it. I was like, oh my gosh, there's so much to absorb from this. I'm going to have to watch it again. And last night, Perry had been gone all weekend. And so I started to tell him, I said, hey, I said, I watched this Garth Brooks thing today. And I said, it was so good. And I said, and you know his song, The Dance? And he was like, no. And I was like, you don't know the song, The Dance? I mean,
Perry, where were that was like you in 1990?
What were you doing? I mean, not what you're... wife was doing, which was crying every time that song came on and turning it up louder and thinking of all the loves lost and could be lost and being in love with a city I'd never been to and a person I'd never met. He didn't even know. He was like, no. And I said, you don't, the song, The Dance. And then I was so like, I thought I could play it for him and he would be like, oh yeah, The Dance. I was so put out that I was like, I can't even, because what I wanted to share with him is because one of his favorite movies is The Man from Snowy River. And when they talked about how they use that to help them do that piano lead into the dance.
That's
I was too tired. I couldn't. I was like, well, I'm lost on you. I can't even go there.
Well, he could have ruined it for you because he'd have had some real practical explanation for why those people should have never been together to begin with. Like, he wouldn't know why they were sad. They shouldn't have been. Wasn't meant to be. Get over it and move on.
No. Quit thinking about The Dance. Why don't you? Yeah, that dance is over. That dance ended.
That's right.
And the world, if the world was really all right, then they would still be together and they're not. And so that was just a dance. Sometimes it's just a dance. That's what he would have told me.
David just got home, which is why Hazel's losing her mind. I mean, she's going to always find an opportunity to lose her mind when we record. But this is just on this day, the particular reason why. I'm with you. I love it. I've watched it so many times. I've had so many takeaways. And then I also, like, do you remember at the beginning, in the first, because it's two episodes, they're each 2 hours long. By the way, I could do a whole series. I could do weeks of Garth reminiscing about his career. But
yes,
it talks about how he went to ASCAP and he met with a guy named Bob Doyle. And
yes, and I wanted to know if your sister knows him.
That sister was there at that point in time. She was working at ASCAP. Yeah. She still works at ASCAP. But anyway, she and Bob still stay in touch. Bob is the reason why I have always had really good seats for Garth Brooks concerts.
Nice. That helps.
But even this Christmas, sister and her husband were going to Bob's Christmas party, and I was like, "Do you think Garth and Trisha will be there?" because she actually found what I didn't know was that she had to go back through the ASCAP archives and find some of the pictures that they used in this very special that I adored.
Oh, you're kidding!
And then Garth sent her the whole big box set that they advertised during the special. I've got a picture of it somewhere because she sent me a picture of it. But what I'm saying is he remembers, he thanks my sister, I don't know. He's not just about all the super bigwigs.
I know it made me when they were like, and he's like, and I got to Nashville and I went to ASCAP because that's where everything starts. And I was like, I know somebody who works there.
You went with me one time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have. We were there for some number one party. Yeah, I can't remember what it was for, but there was a big party.
It was Jason Aldean back in the day, when he was when he was first getting started. I think it was. Anyway.
Yeah, that kind of sounds familiar now. Mm-hmm. Well, so all that to say that really was the highlight of my weekend, and I'll be watching that again. Mm-hmm. I can't recommend it enough.
It's so good.
It was so good.
Mm-hmm. And you watched it on Hulu, you said?
I did. I watched it on Hulu, and I don't really know what happened because somehow Hulu made me change my settings or something to be able to watch it.
Okay.
So I don't know that that's the most efficient way, but that's just where I saw it. I'm sure if you have A&E On Demand or something, you can find it there too, but I didn't have time to do that research. I just found it on Hulu and watched it there.
What? Here's another thing I love, and then I promise I'll quit talking about it.
No, I could talk about it forever.
Is that he looks back on his career with no regrets.
Yes.
He operated in such a way at every step along the way that he doesn't look back and shake his head. So the places mm-hmm. where he had to stand really firm, he was happy to stand there.
Yeah.
This is the last thing. And there's some footage of him with his current band as they were getting ready for a show. I guess it was probably last summer. And I love the way he leads them. You see him saying, mm-hmm. I need you to play those drums. I need you.
Yes. It's got to come in strong.
It's got to come in strong
right here.
I mean, he was like a coach. And I just, mm-hmm. you know how I feel about leadership. I love it when mm-hmm. I see great leadership and people who have really built a team that is loyal. And so I was crazy about that part of it in terms of how his band members adore him and how he continues to lead the people in his band. And
yeah,
I don't know. And you really do see he set everything aside for a season for a really good reason.
Mm-hmm.
And because he didn't want to miss it with his girls. And you hear kind of the behind the scenes of how he and his ex-wife very deliberately and intentionally parented their girls.
Which is amazing.
Mm-hmm. And then it was all still waiting for him when it was time. Yeah. And I love that Miss Yearwood was the one who looked at him and said, do you think you might be ready to tour again? She could see that something was restless in him. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. It should win all the awards.
Yeah, it should. It was so good. I'm so glad that you told me about it. I loved every minute of watching it. I feel like I learned so many things, and it was just great. It was just great. I loved that he went back and found his career. I related to that when they were doing the whole Central Park concert that he was so nervous that nobody was going to show up because I thought, and mm-hmm. much like Garth Brooks, I've had book signings where I've worried that nobody was going to show up, and he had 10 million people show up and I've had 15.
That's
and
right.
So I felt that was, mm-hmm. but I related to his insecurity of are people going to come? Because you're of course they're going to come. You're Garth Brooks. Why wouldn't they come? But I was it shows that we all have that in us where you're
we do.
Nobody wants to come see.
It's so great. Can't recommend it enough.
Yeah, really, really good. A great use of 4 hours of your time.
It really is. I can't think of a single good reason to not watch it. That's what I'll say.
Mm-mm. I can't either. So
you're the luckiest person alive, basically, is where we're
I'm
landing.
I'm the luckiest. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm the luckiest person alive. I decided I'm going to take some Garth energy into mm-hmm. this, and that's it. Probably not going to go on tour, but just am going to keep his attitude in mind.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah. So that, thank you, Garth, mm-hmm. for that. If you're listening, thank you. Appreciate it.
I try. mm-hmm. Hey, everybody, a quick break in the middle of the podcast to talk to you about yoga sleep. As y'all know, Melanie and I are really high maintenance sleepers. And white noise is one of my favorite components, one of my favorite parts of a good night's sleep. There's just something about it that sound relaxes me. It blocks out any noise I don't necessarily want to hear. And we have all in our house gotten so accustomed to sleeping with white noise that we travel with it wherever we go. Well, Yoga Sleep has been making products for sleep for over 50 years, and they invented the Dom, the very first white noise machine, so they know how to make trusted products that work. They also make sound machines for home, for travel, for baby. The Dom uses this soothing fan-based sound, and it was the first of its kind. And many of the sound machines from Yoga Sleep are assembled at their North Carolina-based headquarters. Their team even hand signs the quality control stickers on the bottom, which is really pretty cool. Yoga Sleep also makes other quality sleep products like the highly rated yoga bed mattress and bedding accessories. It's a one-stop shop for all things sleep related. I'm actually headed out of town tomorrow and my white noise machine will go with me. Such a good way when you are staying away from home, if you're in a hotel or you're at somebody else's house, to have the same sound around you when you go to bed at night to make it easier to fall asleep. Just an extra little bonus usage of the white noise machine. So if you would like to try some of Yoga Sleep's products, and I cannot recommend their white noise machine enough, all you have to do is go to yogasleep.com/bigboo to save an exclusive 20% off of a sound machine for natural sleep for the whole family. That's yogasleep.com/bigboo to get 20% off yogasleep.com/bigboo. Alrighty, back to the episode.
So what did y'all do this weekend?
Well, I went to a tiny little conferencey retreat thing last week for a few days in California, and it was glorious. The weather was glorious, the company was glorious, the ability to think and without interruption was glorious. The ability to sit outside. Yes. I really did. I stayed outside unless I was sleeping, pretty much. Like, I just stayed outside That's the nice. Whole time. It was so great. So that was wonderful. Even though I went to the airport last Tuesday afternoon here in Birmingham, and it was storming, and so our flight was going to be on time. It was going to be on time. Then it was delayed. Then it was delayed again. And then there was, you know, one of the red coat Delta people, like the kind of, I guess they're sort of like the higher up customer service people. He kept going to like the walkie talkie on the wall at the gate to update us.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you that this was somebody who really, really liked to distribute information. And I'm going to tell you what I don't want in those kinds of moments is somebody in the room who needs to be an expert. So we got a lot of ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate your patience with us here at Delta. We don't take for granted the fact that you're flying with us, and we're grateful that you are sticking with us here during this weather delay. It looks like we've got a system coming out of the southeast, or it wasn't the southeast, but you know, like whatever. And you know, when those winds get up and that, and your safety is our priority. And he just goes on. And I'm like, just tell me when we're leaving. Just tell me when we're, well, you can see we had another lightning strike off in the sky. And because of those, you know, tornadic,
yeah. And you're like, we don't care.
Listen,
Bob,
Kevin.
We don't, it's fine, Bob. Uh-huh. Yeah, go on.
Yeah. So we finally get on the plane, and then we are no more buckled in. And the pilot says, we just got word that we're delayed another hour.
Oh,
so then people start getting off the plane. Mercy. So I called Delta to try to see what this is going to do to my connecting flight in Atlanta. And it's the whole thing of like, all agents are busy. If you would like for us to return your call, we can return your call in 23 minutes. So, which is so frustrating. I actually filled out a survey about this last night from Delta. So before I left Birmingham, the very kind gate agent named Darius was delightful, and Darius had saved me a seat on a flight to LA in case I missed the flight to Orange County.
That's so nice.
Oh, Darius was fantastic, but I did not receive, it was not as easy to receive help once I was on the plane. Anyway, long story short, by the time I got to Atlanta, I had missed my flight to Orange County and the backup flight to LA. And I went to the customer service desk in the terminal, and he booked me on the first flight out the next morning and then handed me a voucher for a hotel. Now, as I have mentioned many times, I always check my bag. Here's why. I feel the carry-on process is uncivilized. I feel, as a people, we can do better than fighting one another for overhead space and then hitting one another in the head when we try to retrieve our bags. I don't want to carry all my things through the airport. I want to check my bag.
Yes.
But because my flight was delayed, I could not get my bag. I did go to baggage services to see if they could retrieve it, and they said that they could probably get it up to me about 6 the next morning because it had gone into cold storage. I also think, and I didn't tell you this, I do think I saw Maria Taylor from ESPN when I went to baggage services, but I didn't speak to her. But I stared at her for some time as I was waiting to be helped, and I am 99% sure that's who it was. So, Maria, if you're listening.
Okay, that's good.
Anyway, so I get on a shuttle with 4,000 other people to go to the nearest Holiday Inn where they'd given me the voucher. And the whole thing was surreal. And that Holiday Inn, it was a Holiday Inn and Suites. The woman at the front desk, for some reason, gave me one of the suites. That room was bigger than my grad school apartment. It was enormous, but it kind of freaked me out. It was so big and it was weird. It was just, the whole thing about it was weird. And I didn't have a change of clothes. So it was just a very strange experience. Anyway, but I got to Orange County the next morning and that was great. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. So I got home Friday night and then we ran errands and stuff on Saturday. Alex had a dance Saturday night. So it was really kind of a recovery weekend for my time away. So nothing terribly exciting happened over the course of the weekend, but anyway. Okay.
Well, I always think an airport hotel is really the worst because an airport hotel is never a destination hotel.
It's not.
You know, it's a pit stop. It's a pit stop for people who need to get to the airport early or who haven't. And I'm going to tell you where you never want to stay is a pit stop. I mean, and that's what it is. Because nobody ever says, hey, we're going to go on vacation. What do you think about that airport Hilton?
Yeah.
Like, that's never going to be a destination. And so I feel like it's a kind of a bare bones experience. A lot of people have stayed there, probably a lot of people, and I don't mean to gross you out, but it's after the fact. A lot of people who've stayed there and had to sleep in the clothes they've been wearing in the airport. Not a lot of showering going on, just out of necessity and desperation.
Well, you will appreciate. So I'd stopped in one of the little convenience stores in the airport to get myself like some odds and ends I thought I might need at the hotel. Like I got a toothbrush and toothpaste and that kind of stuff. And then, but when I got to the hotel, I was like, there's no way I'm not taking a shower. There is zero chance I'm not taking a shower. So anyway, because I had on like a cardigan over, and I had on a tank top, like a kind of a tunicky top and then a cardigan. So I did have, so like my tunicky top had not actually touched me over the course of the day.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like it didn't feel
yeah,
like.
Yeah, that's a plus.
So it was kind of like, so I wore my cardigan like a robe after I got out of the shower. Mm-hmm. And then I wore my shirt that had not touched me like a nightshirt. Does that make sense? So.
Yeah.
So that I kind of felt like the next morning I had to get dressed. I was not actually asleep in all my clothes, which would have been awful. So but I will tell you this, I mentioned this on my Instagram the next morning. So I'd washed my hair the night before. I had no hair products. I always have to pull my hair back in a chip clip after I dry it because it helps with body. And then I spray it, but I didn't have any hairspray. So my hair was, as my mama would have said, it was flat as a flitter when I got to the airport. I don't even know what that means. She would always say it.
It's not good.
It's not good. It's not a compliment. Tell you that. So I went to another airport store after I got through security And I found a bottle, a small travel size bottle of Tresemme hairspray that I paid $7 for.
Sounds about right.
Maybe $8. And the woman at that store, I would go back and find her tomorrow if I could, because she quoted scripture to me from the time that I walked up to that counter. And
she knew it. She knew you needed it.
She knew I needed it. And then she said, "The Lord didn't wake you up this morning to leave you, did he?" And I said, "No, he didn't. He didn't." And she gave me a word about obedience. And I mean, it really was. It felt like a new mercy is what that felt like. Just, and I thought, how many lives does she impact every single day in that?
That's right.
In that place, in the airport. So I took my hairspray into the bathroom and I found a countertop that was not a sink. And I got my brush out and I turned my head over and I started to spray my hair. I mean, like, just like in a fury, like I need all the aerosol just to get up in here. And while I was doing it, a woman walked past me and she said, "I'm so sorry, but would you mind if I had a hit of that for my bangs?" And I said, "Absolutely." And so I said, "I'm just trying to get some body," because I had to stay at a hotel last night and didn't have any product. And she said, "I was in the same situation." So she gets that Tresemme and she just anoints herself, like, to get her bangs out of the way. And then anyway, but by the time I sprayed it again and I flipped over, it kind of looked normalish. You know, it didn't look quite so quite so pitiful. But
listen, those rough times.
I'm still not buying into the. I'm not buying into the check bag culture. The carry on culture. But I am gonna, like, I have to go somewhere tomorrow. I'm gonna put just a t-shirt, some yoga pants, some extra underpinnings in my carry on bag, toothbrush, toothpaste. And because I don't care if I don't have makeup, I'm fine without that. But
yeah, but it's the other, the hair products are a thing.
Yeah. So I'm gonna put that little trial size of Tresemme in there.
Well, we wish you all the traveling mercies.
Thank you. Hi, y'all. A pause in this episode to talk to you about Glossier. I love skincare. Melanie loves skincare. We actually like it way better than we like makeup. There's just something about finding really good products to help you take great care of your skin. It's the only skin you're ever going to get. So it stands to reason that you want to use stuff that makes your skin feel great, that makes your skin feel moisturized, and that helps your skin to look great too. Well, Glossier believes that beauty starts with skin first and makeup second. And I particularly love, y'all, their Milky Jelly Cleanser. It is this really luxurious, creamy gel formula, and it makes washing your face such a great way to end your day. It takes off all the excess oil and dirt and makeup. It's really gentle on your eyes, which is great for me because I almost always have my contact lenses in when I wash my face. It's good for all skin types, and it has this really beautiful, simple packaging that looks good on your counter, which is awesome because I'm not one to put things like that away. Milky Jelly Cleanser is one of Glossier's top-selling products. People are obsessed with this stuff, and it's the perfect way to start your skincare routine. It's got a pH balanced formula that has a blend of 5 skin conditioners. It's dermatologist tested, hypoallergenic, non-irritating, cruelty and paraben free. It's tough on impurities, but gentle on your eyes and everywhere else. I really like that gentle part because my skin can be really sensitive. It can flare up and get red if something's too abrasive when I use it. And this Milky Jelly Cleanser really kind of calms it down at the end of the day, gets all the makeup off, and it's such a great way to treat my skin before I put that final round of moisturizer on my skin for the night. So if you would like to get glowy, dewy skin for yourself, all you have to do is go to glossier.com/podcast/bigboo. That's a little different than our normal URLs for sponsors. So glossier.com/podcast/bigboo. You can learn more and take the quiz to find out your ultimate Glossier skincare routine. Plus, all new customers will get 10% off their first order on glossier.com/podcast/bigboo. That's Glossier, spelled glossier.com/podcast/bigboo. Certain exclusions apply. Okay, back to 173.
Now, I'm going to tell you, speaking of hair, I'm going to tell you that what tickled and delighted me today, that maybe you've seen that I posted a hair tutorial video on Instagram.
Now, I have not seen the video. I haven't seen the video, but Alex came in my office today and said, Melanie posted a video on how to do her hair. He had seen it at lunch. Mm-hmm. So I cannot wait to watch.
And he commented that I'm going to tell you that Aha had commented and said, this helped me a lot. Thanks. On it. I have never been so tickled by anything.
Well, yeah, listen.
And I went on and I said, I said I sent some sarcasm, and then he commented back and said he gained the ability of sarcasm from his wonderful mother. And I said, that's why we love Soph. So Alex and I have had a little exchange on Instagram today, and it has made me so happy. But I was tickled that he commented, because Caroline also commented. What is that, Alex?
He just heard me talking about him. He came in. He said, I'm pretty humorous, aren't I?
Mm-hmm. He is. He's so funny. Mm-hmm. He made me laugh. But then I laughed because Caroline also commented on it. And she was like, nice room. Where are you? Because I did it in her room. So I was like, apparently the IGTV gets the teens to come out in the comments. I don't really know why. Well, but it delighted me.
I don't know if it was just him watching at lunch, if he and his friends watched at lunch. I don't know. But but he sure did.
I mean, I don't know why a bunch of. Yeah, well, I don't know why a bunch of teenage boys wouldn't want to watch a 48-year-old mom do her hair. That's compelling content. I mean, that's compelling content right there. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway, I was very tickled to see a comment by one Alex Hudson on my Instagram. It was an unexpected treat and delight today.
So happy. Listen, it's so good when everybody grows up and they can all interact. You know, it's just.
It is. It is. It's so funny. It just makes me, I know, it delights me. So
his friends, Ella and Ashby, came in my office today for just a minute at the beginning of some class. And Ella has gotten to where she likes to read all the titles of the books on my shelves aloud in a very sarcastic, well, not really even sarcastic, but in an overdramatic voice. So
I love that.
So I always like, so I've had Beth's book, Chasing Vines, on my desk. And so Ella will come in with a lot of Chasing Vines.
That's good.
What else? I can't remember. Cold Sassy Tree. In other words, they're mocking me, you know, but.
Yes, yes. Well, and that's a lot of it is them mocking us, but I mean, I'll take it. It's, you know, it's something. So,
Whispers
that is so funny.
Of Hope. That's another one.
It'll make you stop and think what you're going to name a.
It certainly
a,
will.
Book.
It certainly will.
On the bright side.
Well, that's next, because I'm going to take it to school with me. On the bright side. Anyway,
on the bright side.
There was something else I was going to tell you. Oh, okay. So on my trip, I read two books.
Okay, tell us.
So the first book I mentioned last week, I was going to read the book by Kira Wall called The Dearly Beloved. Let me tell you what.
Yes.
Now, I think based on the messages I've received on Instagram, some people like this book, some people don't like it as much. It is not, and I mentioned last week, it's a tale of two couples in ministry together. It is not a tidy tale. You know what I mean? Like, it is not a book about four people who set out in ministry and nobody's beliefs ever wavered, like, or everybody always believed the same thing. And for that reason, that was such a comfort to me because it wasn't too, it just wasn't too wrapped up in a, you know what I mean? Like it felt like real life to me, but I have to tell you, I love that book so much. I have thought about it ever since I finished it. Like, I love those people. I don't want to say too much because I don't want to give it away for people who haven't read it, but it took its time. It was, I got such a good idea of who those characters were, which I really love. And I thought it was fantastic. So that was just my take on it.
Okay, well, that makes me want to read it.
And then the other thing I read that I started reading right before I left, and I read really on my flights coming home, I read Sarah Bessie's latest book called Miracles and Other Reasonable Things. And my goodness, is she ever a writer's writer? Like, it kind of, to the mm-hmm. point that you think, you know what? I think I'm probably this, I'm just cool.
I'm done.
I'm going to just sort of close this computer and, yeah, I've had a nice mm-hmm. run, mm-hmm. but what's happening mm-hmm. here is really a different level. I don't know. I yeah. loved it. And again, I don't know that I have ever been in a place personally where I related to something somebody wrote. Now, she writes a lot about her injury that she sustained in an accident and just sort of the process of that healing. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know. But it applies on a lot of levels, I think. You know, it doesn't have to necessarily be physical. It just applies on a lot yeah. of level if you were walking through some kind of healing. And I just thought it was great. I thought it was just beautifully written. Okay. And I love her voice. And again, this is a place where if you sat us down, we might not line up on every single theological point. But yes. I think we both have a great deal of love for Jesus. And I think that mm-hmm. We both have a great deal of encouragement in our lives from how he works in the day to day. And golly, does that ever come across in this book. And so,
okay,
it's really beautiful.
Well, I'm going to add that. You're helping me add stuff to my list. I have gotten, so here's what I have. So I'm still reading, of course I am, which is Maybe You Should Talk to Someone, mm-hmm. Because by Lori Gottlieb, which is just because I've been busy with book stuff, so I haven't had the chance. And then my friend Amy actually just dropped off Do You Mind If I Cancel by Gary Jannetty, which she said is hilarious, and she read it in one night.
Oh, I love those kinds of books. So I totally trust her. Yeah.
Yeah, so I totally trust her. So I'm going to do that. And then I want to read Dearly Beloved. And then I want to read Sarah Bessie's because I feel like so many people, I've heard so many people rave about how beautiful that book is. So I want to read that. And then we also start this week Aaron Moon's Lent devotional, which I'm really, yes. I've been holding off on. So I'm actually doing it during Lent. But I feels like a Lent. Can you have a Lent treat? Is that okay? It feels like a Lent treat for me.
It is going to be a Lent treat. I told somebody today, I have a lot of anticipation about Lent this year. And I think I've been thinking a lot, you know, I grew up in the Methodist church and then David and I were Episcopalian. And so I have a lot of affection for those traditions, but I don't, as we were talking about before we started record, I don't spend really a lot of time thinking back on stuff unless I'm about to write something. So I have just really kind of been in my head a lot the last week or so about growing up in the Methodist church and all the things I learned. And I don't know, I just have some anticipation about Lent and just kind of meeting the Lord in whatever that is. And so I'm super excited about Aaron's devotional, and we will put a link in the show notes for everybody. This will come out Wednesday night, which is the first day of Lent. So if you mm-hmm. want it, we'll put a link in there and you can go get it. And you can, I think there's an audio version too, if you would rather listen to it. So she's just one of my very favorite writers.
Yeah, she really is. She's a great writer. She's one that last year I felt like reading her Lent devotional, like she would write something or she would say something. I'd be like, well, I think I'm done. Mm-hmm. This is my work here is finished. I'm not going to say anything any funnier than that. No, so,
her voice is super clear, super clear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is. It's so good.
Hi, it's me again to talk to you about Clearly Filtered. Melanie and I are both borderline obsessive water drinkers. We really think it's an important part of our day. We think it's an important thing to do for our skin. So you will often see us with water bottles in our hands. And that is why I am so happy to tell you about Clearly Filtered. Clearly Filtered is a new way to think about water filtration. Their breakthrough affinity filtration technology reinvents the way water filters work by capturing and destroying over 230 chemicals, contaminants, and toxins commonly found in tap water. Most water filters only focus on making your water taste better, but what Clearly Filtered does is that it makes your water healthier by removing hundreds of toxins and also keeps the beneficial minerals in your water. All of the Clearly Filtered water filters are made in the United States, in Alabama to be exact, which is awesome. And they offer a filtered water pitcher, like a standard jug you would put in your refrigerator, a three-stage under-sink system that plugs directly into your water line under your faucet, a universal fridge filter, plus multiple filtered water bottles and filtered shower heads. They also offer a 10% discount on all of their products if you choose a filter subscription. And that is actually what most of their customers choose. Last week, y'all, when I went to California, I took my Clearly filtered bottle with me, and it was just my constant companion. It was so great to know that no matter where I was on at any part of my trip, that it took care of my water so that my water could take care of me. Clearly filtered also prides themselves on customer service. So if you have a question or a comment, you're welcome to contact them. They are always happy to help, and you can call, text, chat, email, use social media, whatever your preference is, they are there to help. So if you think it's time to get a real water filter, one that actually removes the hundreds of contaminants in tap water, then visit clearlyfilter.com/bigboo and use the coupon code BIGBOO, and you'll get 20% off your new filtered water system, whatever that happens to be. They ship throughout the U.S. for free, and they have a 30-day risk-free guarantee and then a lifetime warranty on all of their filter systems. So clearlyfilter.com/BIGBOO and use the promo code BIGBOO, and you'll get 20% off. And by the way, I'm a huge fan of the pitcher and the water bottle. Back to 173.
So we got that, and yeah, that's really,
Now I will tell you this. What?
Tell me.
Last night, well, I think I've already told you, but I'll tell you again for the sake of sharing it with everybody else. Last night, yesterday afternoon, I did a Walmart pickup order, and I made chicken and walrice soup, and I made a recipe that I found, I don't know, a month or so ago from a website called She Wears Many Hats, and she has really good recipes, and I followed her on Twitter for years because she always links to really good recipes too. But this chicken and wild rice soup is just one of my favorite soups I have ever made, and I think maybe it's because you have to chop so many things, and you know I really like to chop. But you have to chop a lot of onion, you chop a lot of celery, you have to chop a lot of carrots, which, so I'm happy. Then you've got to, you don't have to chop chicken. You could use your rotisserie chicken from the bag. But I chopped up chicken, and it's just delicious. So I'm going to put a link to that because it really doesn't take very long. You can do it in the Instant Pot. I have, but it's, I did last time, but this time I just did it on the stove, but it is so good.
Okay. Well, you texted me about it last night, and I am getting, my ship shopper is shopping for all the ingredients needed for it as we speak, because it's going to get cold here again tomorrow. And so I thought that's a great time to make it. And I don't know how I'll feel about the chicken part of it, but I was like, people will really enjoy it. And this is my first foray into what I now know is, and it showed up on my Shipt app where I was like rotisserie chicken. And then I went deli because so many people told me, hey, HEB has it in the deli. It's shredded rotisserie chicken. Sure enough, shows up in my Shipt app where I was able to request two things of the shredded rotisserie chicken.
I'm so happy for you.
I'm so happy. Well, Jen Hatmaker, God bless her, because we had talked about it on the last podcast, and I thought you had to like take it to the butcher, like get your rotisserie chicken, take it to the butcher. And I thought you have to do that, and then they have to bag it, and that feels high maintenance to ask my ship shopper and blah, blah, blah. Well, then she commented on our, when you posted about the podcast, and was like, oh no, it's at the front of HEB. And then my friend Wendy, who lives here, said, yes, at our HEB, it's right in the front. So I knew this exists. And so it really is, I can't even think of the ways it's going to change my life.
Because
like if you had sent me, I'm going to say, if I didn't know about the shredded rotisserie chicken and you had sent me that creamy chicken and wild rice and said, like you did, this is such a good soup, I'd have been like, that's great, but I can't deal with chicken this week. Mm-hmm. But now I'm like, just open up those cases and just plop, put that chicken in. It's a game changer.
Game changer. Well, yep. I will say I got chicken on the bone. I've talked about this before this year, and I did my chicken stock and all that. Like I cooked my chicken and bouillon and all those things. And I do think there's something extra good about, you know, having your homemade chicken stock, but, not that you would, you could take the bones from your rotisserie chicken and make chicken stock that way. Or you could just open up the can of the container of Kitchen's Choice. Whatever.
Yeah, I feel okay. I feel okay about the, and I really like the Pacific chicken broth. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, I like that.
It's got really good flavor, not the low sodium, just the regular. And so I feel okay about not having to boil any bones. Yeah. I just, I can't do it.
Hey, the low sodium chicken broth, it's really, unless you have a real like health / dietary concern, low sodium chicken broth is a waste of time.
Yeah, I mean, it is. Why are you going to, because all you're going to do is have to salt it, because it's like at that point you just have, it's like just water. Why mm-hmm. not just put water in your soup?
Are
Nobody
you having
wants
some,
that.
Some difficulties on your end? Are you moving? Are you relocating?
I'm on the couch because I couldn't be in the playroom today. And so I'm on the couch and it's hard to keep my mic stationary. And I'm doing the best I can today. That's all I can tell you. I'm the luckiest woman alive.
You really are. You're the luckiest woman alive. The other thing is, while I was in California, every morning, of course, I got up. I mean, not super early, but I did set my alarm while I was there, because it was the kind of thing, like, if I'm going to be in Southern California, I want to be up, one, where I don't have to rush, but I want some time before I start my day to enjoy Southern California. You know what I mean? So, like, if we had breakfast from 8 to 9, I got up kind of early so I could go fix coffee and sit outside and read or whatever. So, anyway, I noticed when I went to make my coffee that first morning, they had a few different kinds of K-cups, and I chose the Starbucks French Rose K-cup, which I have not tried before. And I found it to be delicious, to the point that I was so happy the next morning about the K-cup that was awaiting me, the French Rose K-cup. And when I told David about it, he ordered us a box of them from Costco that have gotten here today. So I'm so excited. I've been very loyal to the Neiman's Own, and I like it. But the French Rose, if you like a strong cup of coffee, is really good. And it doesn't taste like some of them do, where it's like they just got some kind of regular coffee and then like injected some coffee flavor. It tastes like a really good, strong cup of coffee. Like, I'm so excited. It's all I can do right now, not to go make me a cup of that coffee, but I can't do caffeine this late in the afternoon.
Okay, that makes me want to add that to my shipped list.
I would highly encourage it. It is, if you like strong coffee, it is, and I especially like strong coffee when I've got my creamer, just my cream, half and half, whatever you want to call it, just right in it. It's really good. I like coffee that still has flavor after you add your half and half. You know what I mean?
Yes, for sure. And I hate when I accidentally get a little too much half and half mm-hmm. in it. If I do a little too much sugar or too much half and half, and then it's like, and now it's just sweet. It's mm-hmm. like, I need it to have a coffee.
I need it to have a bite. Like, and this does. It's delicious. So, that was a classic David made too, I thought, by the way, that when I said I really liked the French Rose. And we looked on Amazon, and it was, or I looked at on some app that sells groceries, and it was, I don't know, it was a little expensive. And so he looked at Costco, and before I could even say, you know, maybe we should get some, he was like, oh, it's less than 50 cents a cup. He had ordered the whole box.
It's worth it. Mm-hmm. It's totally worth it. Okay. That's good to know. Okay. I'm going to add that to my grocery list right now.
Mm-hmm. So I highly recommend.
Okay, I've been drinking the Starbucks Sumatra is what I've switched to for K-cups.
I like the Sumatra too.
Yeah, and it's good, but because it's dark, it's a darker. But I'm always open to new things.
Well, I ran through Starbucks this morning and got some coffee, and I typically now I just get dark roast coffee, whatever they have, and then doctor it however I normally would. But mm-hmm. they had the Viennese in the at the. And it was good. Like I even went back by and was like, what is this again? Because I love their Italian roast and I love their signature blend, but the Viennese is up there. It was delicious.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know. That is good to know. Okay. Well, thank you for this service.
You're so welcome. Anything else we need to cover?
I don't think so. I feel like this is a lot of information. I feel like, I mean, as Garth Brooks would say, every curse is a blessing. Every blessing is a curse. I feel like I wish Lane Kiffin would watch Garth Brooks, because it might give him some more stuff to type up on a note card to put on Twitter.
I will tell you that, did we ever talk about the fact that somebody who listens to the podcast found where they were selling those note cards?
No. Did we talk about that? I don't know if we did. Because it was Sugar Boo, right?
But yeah, it was at Sugar Boo. And I'm going to tell you that anytime he posts one of those things, I'm going to like it. I'm going to like it. It's going to take all I can do not to retweet it. It's one of my favorite things. And then I would just say, I say this objectively and not as someone who was honored to have Mike Leach as the coach of my Mississippi State Bulldogs. Oh. But I'm going to tell you this, I had really missed a blessing by not following Mike Leach on Twitter before he became the coach of the Mississippi State Bulldogs. His Twitter feed has very little to do with football, if anything.
It has nothing. And I sent you this week because it tickled me and I thought about it so many times. But when he said that the chew pee on a jellyfish sting and not a jelly stain, again, my apologies to the lady at the Waffle House this morning. I was like, I love you so much. I don't even know what to do with this.
I know. I can't tell you what a gift his Twitter would be to any of you within the sound of my voice. Even Alex was like, Mama, he just posts memes. And I was like, that's true. He does. He posts a lot of memes. He posts a lot of things where the resolution is so terrible because it's a screenshot of 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 a screenshot from 2002. Like, it's... And he posts it with just some enthusiasm, some pride. It's good.
Yep. He really does. It's like an art. And I like it because it tells us that Mike Leach is like all of us. He spends a lot of time looking at memes on the internet, which I appreciate because that's one of my love languages or funny memes from the internet.
Mm-hmm. So I just want to offer that option to y'all just in case. But other than that, I would just say congratulations, Melanie Schenkel, on the 2 new books. We hope this week is
Thank you, Sophie Hudson.
You're welcome. We hope this week is super fun, that you really do feel like the happiest, luckiest woman alive.
I'm the luckiest woman alive. I'm going to tell you what I've learned. If I don't fight for these books, nobody's going to fight for them for me.
Sure.
So that's what I'm doing. Fighting.
Fight.
The luckiest woman alive. Mm-hmm. I'm the luckiest woman alive. I'm going to go to Barnes & Noble, and I'm going to stand out there, and I'm going to sign 3 books until they ask me to leave, until they say, ma'am, you don't work here, and then I'll go home.
Ma'am, you're trespassing. Listen, what would we do really in real life? Because Ernest is typically a difficult personality for me, unless it's Garth Brooks, and then I'm all in. I'm 100% in. Yes. But I really thought, what would it, because I told you yesterday, I was like, I feel like sometimes Trisha probably says, like, okay. All right.
Go to bed. It's time to go to sleep.
Simmer down. But listen, I'll tell you what he's going to do when he goes to sleep. He's going to sleep like a champion. He's going to sleep. He's going to rest his head on that pillow without a regret.
Yes. He is. Because, and he's going to know that he shook your hand. He meant it. He's going to know that.
He's a man of his
word.
He's
going to know that Garth Brooks stood by his word today, and he can sleep soundly.
He can.
Knowing that he did what the Lord had called him to
That's
do.
Exactly right.
The end.
So I just wonder, like, so now I'm dying to have somebody that earnest in my life, essentially, so I can just experience it, you know, because I will buy it. Like, if I think you're sincere, I will buy all the way in. The problem a lot of times for me in earnest is it comes across as insincere, but I'm confident he means every word he says.
Oh, yeah. I think he absolutely does. I think that you can tell, and I think you can. And I got real tickled. I'll tell you the other part, and I don't want to spoil it all. But when he talked about the difference between his mom and his dad, like as he got famous and then his dad tried to like stay, like they went to every show and then his dad tried to stay out of the focus and didn't want to really be recognized. But that his mom wore that jacket with a G on the back with mom. I'm like, if Caroline Schenkel, if you think I wouldn't be wearing a jacket with a C and a mom, like it made me so happy.
Oh,
mom.
Glorious.
You mom. I was like, yeah, she isn't going to let anybody not know who she is, which I'm like, that's right. You raised those kids. That's your reward. You get to wear that jacket that says G mom on the back.
You know what we really need in a deep way is we need for Wynonna and Garth Brooks to record a conversation. We need for them to exchange wisdom. And I'm going to tell you what, that would make up a set of cards you could sell at Sugar Boo. Like,
oh,
those two together, that I just realized it as you were talking, but that is what I need in my life. I need a Wynonna and Garth conversation, and I just need them to trade expressions essentially back and forth. Like it's a tennis game.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. Yep. That would be a book. That could be a book that would put Zig Ziglar out of the inspirational speaking business. Well, like, mm-hmm. I mean, we would have no need for anybody else in our life to ever pump us up or motivate us again.
No, and I would read from it on the daily, and I would put it on the breakfast room table, and I would assault Alex with those words right every morning when he woke up. I would ping him with those words every single morning.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. Let's make that happen. Okay. Let's make that happen, publishing people. Let's make that happen.
Wynonna and Garth. Both of them who like to refer to themselves in the third person. I would. So good.
I think that's a key.
I did say yesterday, and we won't ever talk about this again, but I did tell Melanie this. My thing about Garth Brooks is he's so kind, and it's so refreshing to see somebody who is that kind and has been that successful. Like, it just makes you feel like, well, we may all be okay in the end after all.
Yeah.
Because he's just so genuine and earnest and honest, and I have so much respect for him. I'm just real carried away with that whole thing.
Yeah, just the total like normalcy and just unaffectedness and doing what he can with the platform and the fame he's been given. I was already a fan. I'm an even bigger fan.
I know. It's so good.
Okay.
Alrighty. Well, happy book week.
Thank you, ma'am.
And we will
talk. Happy week to everybody else.
Happy week, and we will talk to y'all later.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye, y'all.